Krishna conscious life is the perfection of emotional expression. In Krishna consciousness, your emotions finally can display themselves in a healthy and ever fresh manner, which leads to deeper and deeper immersion in love of Krishna. Bhakti yoga is teaching us how to feel. Bhakti yoga is not simply teaching us how to think, but also how to feel. Thinking and feeling and willing, those are the activities of a sentient entity. So in bhakti yoga, you learn how to think in perfection, how to feel in perfection, how to will in perfection. Do not misunderstand the process of bhakti yoga. Sometimes new devotees, and sometimes even devotees who've been around for a while, start to wonder, what's it all about? What am I going through all this for? No one is treating me like I'm the center of the universe. People order me. People tell me what to do. That never happens in the material world. What's going to be the future of my life? Will it be just day after day of service to Krishna? Will it be day after day of chanting my japa? Will there be any opportunity for me to express myself? Sometimes candidates in Krishna consciousness wait around quite a few years for an opportunity to express themselves. In other words, to express themselves independent of Krishna. We don't want to wait around for that. Our goal is how to express ourselves in perfect relation to Krishna. Not that we want Krishna to give us the benediction that we can express ourselves separate from him. No, the perfection of life is to feel for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya came to demonstrate how to have the topmost feelings for Krishna. The topmost feelings for Krishna are those demonstrated by his eternal consort. It's like Mahadev has his eternal consort, Sati Devi. Krishna has his eternal consort, Srimati Radharani. Lord Chaitanya comes to demonstrate the emotional feelings in separation as felt by Srimati Radharani. Especially during the time when Uddhava visited Vrindavan and he brought a message from Krishna, and Uddhava noticed the love in separation, the Vipralamba Bhava of the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, especially Srimati Radharani, who discussed the Brahmara Gita, the bumblebee song, in which she addressed a bumblebee as a messenger of Krishna, and in this way revealed her love and separation. Lord Chaitanya came to display those emotions. He's Krishna, as you know, wanting to know what it's like to have the emotional state of Krishna Prema. What is it like to have love of me? You could never think like that. That's the difference between you and God. You would never dare to think, what's it like to be a lover of myself? Anyone here ever think that? What is it that my fans and admirers are tasting? No, you'd not think like that. Because you're not God. Krishna is omniscient. He knows everything. But this one thing he was curious about. And because he's God, he knew how to solve this riddle. What is it my dearest devotee is tasting? He came as Lord Chaitanya, taking the position of Srimati Radharani in loving Krishna. Krishna consciousness is very emotionally wonderful. But often younger devotees don't understand that, and older devotees don't understand that. And so they sometimes slacken in their devotional service, consciously or unconsciously, because what's going on is they're thinking, oh, I haven't had any emotional expression in a long time. I've been just doing sadhana bhakti. I've been just doing temple service. I've been just, trying to, assist the Krishna conscious activities for my home or whatever, and what about my emotional expression? And so then consciously or unconsciously, they start to withdraw. They start to become less effective in their service, less effective in their Krishna conscious duties, because whether they admit it to themselves or not, they're feeling that my emotions are unfulfilled. We have to be a little patient in devotional service in order to see the wonders that bhakti yoga does for your emotional expression. Far from being a cold and sterile process, bhakti yoga is an emotional wonderland. That is what nectar of devotion is all about. Nectar of devotion, especially in the second half, is presenting to us all the different flavors of love of God, love of Krishna. So why is it, we have to ask ourselves, why is it that we have this bias, this mistaken conception that, okay, Krishna consciousness is nice, it's good philosophy, but what about my emotions? Who cares about that? Krishna is the most expert in dealing with emotions. It's just we need some time to cleanse ourselves of our emotional pride. I know what love is. I know what a good emotional reciprocation is. So Krishna, when are you going to give that to me? Or when are you going to arrange that for me in Krishna consciousness? Because I know what it is. The best thing is to approach Krishna saying, I actually don't know what love is. I actually don't know what a real emotional exchange is. You please arrange for my purification so that one day I can come to the standard of tasting what is real emotional reciprocation. But the general tendency is that conditioned souls are proud. They're generally quite sure they know what two things are. They may not know everything, they'll admit, but they know what two things are. What is pleasure and what is love? Every conditioned soul generally feels that way. Okay, those two things I know. I know what a good time is. I know what pleasure is. And I know what love is. So where is it? When's it going to hit me? Because I know what it is. This is pride. The best way to approach Lord Krishna is to be materially exhausted. That doesn't mean simply broke, no money. It means to understand you really don't know what love and pleasure is, and you have struggled so many lifetimes trying with your pride to achieve love and pleasure. Now, after many births and deaths of exhaustion, you're approaching Krishna saying, I don't know what love is. I don't know what pleasure is. You please arrange for my purification in bhakti yoga, and then I'll find out by your grace. That's what it means to be a devotee. Now, how many of us think that it's possible to have that kind of attitude? It is not difficult. It just requires we have a little bit of humility and common sense. In this material world, as you're attempting to perform devotional service within it, just catch yourself. Get into the habit of catching yourself as soon as you feel, yeah, I know what a good time is. I know what pleasure is. I know what love is. I know what a good emotional, you know, downpour upon me feels like. Try to just check yourself and pray to Krishna that I'm helpless, I'm bound. Unless you show me what love and pleasure is, how will I ever find out? So I have a hope against hope that one day you'll introduce me to real love and pleasure. Now, you might be thinking, okay, I don't have real love, I don't have real pleasure, so what are we going to do now? Just, you know, have miserable lives while performing devotional service? The fact is that even if you have not attained perfection, just by trying for perfection in Krishna consciousness, you will taste pleasure and love. This is how merciful Lord Chaitanya is. Even though you have not achieved perfection, but just by your diligent, serious efforts to attain perfection, you start to taste the pleasure and love. That is why Lord Chaitanya is the most munificent the most merciful avatar. He's freely giving Krishna. He's not holding back until you complete the course 100%. Lord Chaitanya is allowing you some extraordinary taste even in your beginning stages of devotional life. And that motivates you. Well, Krishna is the most expert lover. He knows how to motivate you to develop your love for him. So now we have Lord Shiva. He's disturbed that the living entities are disturbed. He's feeling compassion because his nature is that he's always benevolent toward all living entities. I wonder if we ever think, is there a chance that we shall become benevolent toward all living entities? Or are we doomed to be always selfish, to always be thinking about our own mind, our own body? That gets very boring, I like to tell people. It's very boring to be selfish. It looks attractive at first. Okay, now it's time for me. Sometimes our devotees go through that phase. All right, I've been super surrendered for 2 years. Doing everything I've been told. I've been on the roster. I've donated money. I've said Ki Jai and Hari Bol. All right. I think it's about time for me and my program. And if Krishna is smart, he'll let me have what I want for a while, and then I'll get back into devotional service with a fresh attitude. So if Krishna is really intelligent and he wants my service, he should know that I've got to go through this phase and get for me. Sometimes our devotees have that kind of attitude. My time has come now. I've done sankirtan for 6 whole months. I've been in the kitchen for 9 whole months. Now my time has come. In the old days of ISKCON, we used to say, I've done service for 10 years. Now it's, I've done service for 10 months. Who's looking out for me? I've been here 10 months. I didn't become a pure devotee in 10 months. So what do I do now? Just listen to the example of Lord Shiva. He's talking to his wife, Sati Devi. She's Priya, as we said. And what are they talking about? Lord Shiva said, "My dear Bhavani, just see how all these living entities have been placed in danger because of the poison produced from the churning of the ocean of milk." So this is real family life. He's saying to his wife, "Look, open your eyes, see what's going on. See how they're suffering. See how the people are in danger. All living entities, how they're in danger. Look, take a look for yourself, see that." That is a proper guide in Krishna consciousness who can alert you to what's happening all around you. And Lord Shiva is doing that for his wife, Bhavani. Let me show you. Just look. You'll see for yourself. And then Lord Shiva, to his wife, clarifies what his position is. "It is my duty to give protection and safety to all living entities struggling for existence." He asserts himself in that way. "This is my program. This is my mission statement." In other words, are you with me? Are we in this together? Lord Shiva is being very loving, "My dear Bhavani." But at the same time, he's being very firm. "This is my occupation. This is my duty. This is where I'm at." So then he explains what's happening. The people in general being bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are always engaged in animosity toward one another. But devotees, even at the risk of their own temporary lives, try to save them. This is what's happening. The people, they're killing themselves. They always have animosity toward one another. But devotees, we'll try to save them. In other words, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm going to try to do. Mm. Then he even asks her permission. See, this is a proper personal relationship. He asserts himself, then he asks for permission also. He's asserted himself, remember, saying, it's my duty to give protection and safety to all living entities struggling for existence. But, you know, he's a married man, so it can't be all assertion. He's got to, you know, kind of play it both ways, even though he's going to do what he's going to do. Lord Shiva is a very expert husband, you know. All the time, he knows what he's going to do. But at the same time, you know, he's, you know, stirring the emotional ocean of rasa and, you know, my dear Bhavani, he's going to call her Bhadra, almost gentle Bhavani. My dear gentle wife. So he's asserted himself, but then he's going to say, therefore, let me drink this poison, for all living entities may thus become happy because of me. He's asking her permission, although he's already asserted himself. And you'll hear in the future that Bhavani, Lord Shiva's wife, is going to give him her permission to do so. So that is ideal family life. A family life in which the central responsibility is how to satisfy Krishna, not simply how to pay the bills. And how to engage in endless discussions of negotiation and balancing and rebalancing, all without much relation to devotional service. Hmm. There's no doubt about it. No matter what kind of relationship, friendship or marital or whatever, when Krishna's service is in the center, things go easier. And you take Krishna's service out of the center and you're just condemning yourself to year after year of just endlessly trying to make things connect. Meanwhile, time is taking your life's energies away and you die. You fail both in making a lasting, solid relationship, and you fail in your Krishna consciousness. That is the point. Of course, the illusory energy is very powerful, as Lord Shiva has said. When you're bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord, you always see there's hope. I'm going to get something that's good for me. It's going to all work. It's going to click. We're going to make it happen, aren't we? Things are going to flow. Things are going to connect. It'll work for us. Yes. You tell your friends, you tell your relatives, I think this one's going to work. I think this one's going to connect. I think this is really going to work out. I think this is really going to be nice. And you struggle in that way without knowing what Lord Shiva has explained here, that because of the illusory energy of the Lord, people are always engaged in animosity toward one another. It's just a matter of time before the animosity comes out. Maybe it's immediate. Maybe it's after 10, 20 years. But it will come out because that's the nature of material existence. As Prabhupada writes in the purport, materialistic life is therefore compared to samsara davano, a blazing forest fire that automatically takes place. So here we are living in an atmosphere in which forest fires automatically take place. But we think, oh, there's going to be peace, there's going to be fulfillment. With our prowess, we'll get beyond all calamities and all disturbances, and we'll fulfill ourselves and satisfy ourselves. It can't happen. Even you try your best on the material platform, and animosity will happen, without a doubt. You try your best to make a safe situation, and there'll be some danger. Therefore, Lord Shiva is saying, why don't we take compassion upon these people? What am I going to do, my dear wife? Let me drink this poison. So Lord Shiva, you're going to hear in the coming verses, drinks the ocean of poison. He concentrates it all into the palm of his hand, and he drinks it. And then he gets a blue line around his neck from all the poison he drank. But that blue line, instead of being some kind of blemish, it actually is an ornament. even if you look at it as suffering, that Lord Shiva volunteered to suffer, the suffering of a devotee on behalf of others is an ornament. This is something materialists can't understand. When a devotee suffers or goes through inconvenience, a materialist will say, why are you going through all this? Just for this Krishna who you don't even know and haven't seen? You're just being exploited. You're being brainwashed. Mm-hmm. Get back into the rat race with us. Get passionate. Get real. Just look at you getting up early in the morning, trying to stay awake, forcing yourself to read those books, squeezing those beads, muttering your mantras. Get serious. Look what you're putting yourself through. We know you're doing it just because you had some bad times in life and now you've escaped. All right. It happens to all of us. We get a little discouraged about pursuing material goals. But okay, you've taken a break with the Hare Krishnas. Now get back into it again. Get back into the real world of passionate striving. And they dress it up very nicely. It's not such a completely bad world. There's things like relationship building. Goal achievements. Yeah. Get some kind of diary or get some kind of software for your computer, you know, list your goals. Watch how you're making progress towards your goals. Remind yourself of your goals every week. That's what life's about. You can do it. The fact is, no matter how silly our vision is about how there is peace possible, material life will always show you its ugly face. Just when you're not expecting it also. When you are expecting it, and also when you're not expecting it, you'll always find out that your efforts meet with frustration. Even if you get what you want, you're not completely satisfied. For example, people think that if there's world peace, they'll be happy. First of all, there's not going to be world peace because the nature of existence in the material world is there must be strife and animosity. There'll always be some kind of war because that's the nature of conditioned existence. Animosity, fighting, envy. If you want to get rid of that, then you must get rid of material existence. No one wants to do that, though. Everyone wants passion without pain. They consider that to be the topmost. Passion without pain. Whereas Bhagavad Gita teaches you, as soon as there's passion, the end result must be distressing, and then you become angry, and the mode of ignorance results. So the fire of passion turns into wrath. In this way, great havoc is caused in the world because people are frustrated in the satisfaction of their desires. Now, Lord Shiva is letting us see how he feels about this. Prahlad Maharaj also let us see how he feels. We should pay attention to these sections in the Bhagavatam in which we can clearly see how these personalities are feeling. Because they show us the path of emotional expression. We need some models to follow in our emotional life. And you can get a glimpse of that, even in the most exalted persons. They're not so far away from us that we can't take anything from the example. Prahlad Maharaj revealed himself to be simultaneously happy and unhappy. Now, how could that be? Have you ever had that happen in your life, that you were simultaneously happy and unhappy at the same time? It's possible on the spiritual platform. Prahlad Maharaj revealed that for himself, he's happy in Krishna consciousness. Because he's always floating in the ocean of hearing and chanting about Krishna. You should try that. How do satisfy yourself just by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. See if you can get into it. It'll be a great achievement for you. If you're feeling, let's say that a day comes in which you're feeling lonely, you're feeling unappreciated, or you're feeling a bit hurt, just start to hear and chant about Krishna with concentration and see what happens. It could be a great breakthrough for you to realize that you and your emotions can be satisfied just by having a focused hearing and chanting session about the glories of the Lord. And you'll never forget that. So Prahlad Maharaj said, personally, I don't have any problems because I'm always absorbed in the Mahamrita, the great nectarian ocean of hearing and chanting about Krishna. But then again, I do have a problem. I'm concerned for all the suffering people who are trying to lift the false burden of material goals. Maya sukaya bharam udvahato vimudan. I'm lamenting for them. That's my problem. So I'm simultaneously happy and unhappy. This is our inheritance that we should also indulge in. Being simultaneously happy and unhappy in Krishna consciousness. Happy for ourselves, but unhappy for the others. Lord Chaitanya also showed how to feel like that. He described that there is a tree of love of God, a tree of Krishna praying. And Lord Chaitanya brought that tree from the spiritual world. How exactly did he bring that tree? He brought it first in the form of a seed of ecstatic love of Krishna. That was Madhavendra Puri. In Madhavendra Puri's poetry about love of Krishna in separation, you'll find the seed of ecstatic love for Krishna. I Dina Dayadra Nata He Matura Nata Matura Nata Kadapaloksha Say. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Matura, when will I see you again? In that poetry of Madhavendra Puri is the seed of ecstatic love of Krishna. And that seed grew further as Ishvara Puri. And then, in the third generation, spiritual generation, the tree fully took shape as Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya presented himself as the gardener of the tree of love of Krishna. He wanted to show you that just like a gardener is, to be a gardener is not a proud, wealthy position. He wanted to show that anybody who's sincere can help to spread love of Krishna throughout the world. You don't have to be wealthy. The Lord Chaitanya said, I'm the gardener. But how much can I do on my own? How many fruits can I distribute on my own from this wonderful tree? In other words, Lord Chaitanya is saying, Krishna consciousness should be spread in a combined way. How many fruits can one person like me distribute on my own? What else did Lord Chaitanya say? He revealed his inner feelings. That he said, actually, I'm the gardener, but I also want to become the tree. Why? Because as a tree, I can give myself to everyone. The tree never complains about itself. It lets everyone have whatever it has, and it's so tolerant. This is what Krishna and the cowherd boys noted after the Varanahastra Leela, in which Krishna apparently ridiculed and embarrassed the gopis by stealing their clothes. Then, when it was time for the gopis to go back to the village, they were just standing there. They were not going anywhere. Because what were they thinking? They're thinking, Krishna must be attached to us. Otherwise, why would he take so much trouble to tease us? He must be attached. So they were not going anywhere. They were standing there transfixed, just meditating on the thought. Krishna is attached to us. He played this whole game on us. He must be attached. Otherwise, he would never take so much time to go through all this. They were thinking like the perfection of young girls. He's attached. We've got him. They were actually, you know, praying to the goddess Katyayani. Generally, you could say they're praying to Lord Shiva's wife. And they were worshipping her. Yesterday we discussed about Nanda Maharaj and the men of Vrindavan celebrating Shivaratri. So the cowherd girls, they also would worship Shiva or his wife, as was the tradition, in order to get a good husband. So for 1 month they did that. In the morning they would go down to the Jamuna River and make a murti, a deity of Katyayani, and offer things. But what was their hope? Did they want material benefit? No. Actually, in their prayers to get Krishna, did they want to satisfy their senses with Krishna? No. The gopis were simply praying, make Krishna our husband so we can serve him. Not make him our husband so we can enjoy him. But if Krishna's not our husband, how are we going to serve him? We want that position because of service. That's how they're thinking. So in that way, they worshipped the goddess Katyayani. You can say, as the acharyas point out, that Katyayani is Durga, the external energy, or you could say that she's the internal potency. Either way is correct for the gopis, because even if you say that Katyayani represents Durga, the external energy, the gopis are showing, we don't stop at anything in order to get Krishna. We'll worship Durga Devi, but just to get Krishna. And you can look at it that Katyayani is Yogamaya, the internal potency, who arranges all the affairs of Vrindavan. So either way, the gopis are correct. They're showing when it comes to getting Krishna, they do anything and everything. So that was their motivation in worshipping Katyayani, who, generally speaking, you could say is Bhavani. How did they pray to Katyayani? Katyayani Mahamahe. Mahayogin Yajishvari. Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi Patim Me Kurute Namaha. Katyayani Mahamaya. Mahamaya. O great potency of the Lord. Mahayogini. O most powerful mystic lady. Adishvari. O controller of everything. There is this boy, you know. Nanda Gopa Sutta. Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi. Oh, Devi. Oh, beautiful goddess. This boy, Nanda Gopa Sutta, the son of Nanda Gopa. Patame Kurute Nama. Make him ours. Now, Krishna, being omniscient, he knew what was going on. He knew. Ah, they're worshipping Katyayani to have me as their husband. Okay, let me fulfill their desires. So that was the whole purpose of the Vananahastra Leela. Krishna's answering their prayers. But he's doing it in a way that he has fun. Even when the gopis protested in the water, we can't come out. You know, this is improper. If you go on persisting like this, Krishna, we're going to report you to your father, Nanda Maharaj. We're going to report you to the king, Kamsa. And Krishna said, well, I don't care. Go ahead and do it. My father's too old. What can he do about it? Go ahead. This is the supreme enjoyer. You want to turn me in? You want to adopt me in? Go ahead. I don't care. But you're not getting your clothes back. So So in the water of the Jamuna, the gopis began to smile at each other and start to joke with each other. Like, okay, you go first. Let's see what Krishna will do to you. No, 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 you go first. You go first. They all were captivated by Krishna's words and his charm. But being the perfection of young girls, they had to act contrary. Like they were, you know, very disturbed. Krishna, you shouldn't do this. And so remember that these gopis all have spiritual bodies. So in this pastime, there's not one trace of material contamination. Krishna is a supreme enjoyer. So he does the most amazing things. And this is one of them. So anyway, after Krishna returned their clothes, they were just standing there. Like, amazing. He's so attached. He went through all this trouble to play this trick on us. He's really attached to us. Great. And it was only with great reluctance that they went back to Vrindavan. After Krishna promised them, he said, I know the purpose of your worship of Katyayani. I approve of it all. I know you want me, in other words. And then the Lord said a very interesting thing. He said that any desire that is focused upon me will not produce a material reaction. Just like seeds, grain seeds that are left out in the sun and then cooked, they'll never produce, they'll never sprout. Similarly, if you focus a desire upon me, it'll never produce a material reaction. In this way, Krishna glorified the gopis because whatever they did, they were focusing their desires upon Krishna. Even from the viewpoint of apparently wanting Krishna as their husband just to please their senses, but they were never thinking like that. They were simply thinking, Krishna's pleasure, Krishna's service, Krishna's pleasure, Krishna's service. That was their 100% motivation. Therefore, Prabhupada writes, in discussing this lila, that nothing can compare to the Krishna consciousness of the gopis. Even apparently the Lord ridiculed them, mocked them, embarrassed them, played with them like toy dolls, but they never had an inimical attitude. That's it, we're finished with Krishna, we've had enough of him. Sometimes though, in Krishna lila, it would seem that they would come to that point. We've had it with Krishna. He's there with the girls in Mathura, Dwarka. He doesn't need us anymore. Why should we talk about him? Let's stop talking about him because Krishna did this and that. And he's off in Mathura and Dwarka. He's neglecting us. So why should we talk about him? Let's stop talking about him. And then on and on and on and on. So they never get to the point of giving up Krishna. Impossible. Not even for a fraction of a second they could not give up Krishna. They would never ever cross that divide, even when they're apparently jealous or angry. All they wanted was to please Krishna. That's all. And they also knew Krishna is pleased when we're sometimes jealous, when we're sometimes angry. They knew that. So therefore they would do that for Krishna's pleasure. So what did Krishna tell them before they went back to the village? He said, there will come an autumn night when we will be together. It will come. And all your desires will be fulfilled. So Krishna was obviously referring to the Rasa Lila. He was letting the gopis know, it's going to come. What happened when that night did come? The Lord made that night the length of the night of Lord Brahma. Mm-hmm. This is how expert a reciprocator Krishna is. Haven't you sometimes experienced very nice occasions in which you wished it would last forever? I don't know what occasions you could think of. Maybe it was your marriage day, or maybe it was your something or the other. But just everything was working, and everyone was appreciating, and you had this warm glow about you. Was it your marriage day? Or maybe, you know, you got a job position that you wanted for so long or something. Maybe the birth of your first child or something like that. So you just wanted to feel that moment forever. I remember one sports star, he was an American footballer, and he achieved the supreme destination, the Paramgati. His team won the Super Bowl, and he was the star. And so after the final gun sounded, he picked up the football and he ran around the whole field three times, screaming at the crowd, number one. And then all the TV cameras are surrounding him, and he said like a very revealing thing. Let this moment be savored forever. This is it. This is what it's all about. Let this moment be savored forever. Let it not stop. He got himself so worked up, this guy, that by the time night came, he was just so, he was celebrating and partying so much. He fell into a state of exhaustion and they had to take him to a hospital and give him intravenous injections. What they call saline injections, because he had just worked himself in such a tizzy, savoring that moment. He collapsed on the floor and they took him to the hospital. We try to have those magic moments to savor forever. Those moments when just everything clicks, it's all just working. Wow. The fireworks are going off and, it's all flowing, whatever it is. But there's always that fear behind it. Oh, this is going to end, or this is not really going to work, or there's something's going to happen. There's going to be a bump in the road. And there always is. Krishna, however, he's the perfect lover. He's the perfect reciprocator. He told the gopis, autumn season is coming. Your desires will be fulfilled then. What did Krishna do? He took an ordinary night, 12 hours, and turned it into a night the length of Lord Brahma's night. How long is Lord Brahma's night? 4,320,000,000 years. That's how Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. How can you doubt Krishna? But we're so miserly under the influence of Kali Yuga. Just give me 2 hours of pleasure and I'll be satisfied. Why 2 hours? But 5 minutes? And then we wonder why we have difficulty in Krishna consciousness. We're so impatient. We're so small time. We think we know what pleasure is, but actually we're just small-timers, misers. Just give me a half hour of pleasure. That's fine. What did Krishna give his dearest devotees? A night the length of Lord Brahma's night. Why should you doubt that Krishna can do that? He can make it impossible for his mother to bind him with a rope, even though he's just a little boy. He can open his mouth and reveal all the universes. So what is difficult for Krishna to do to make an ordinary night become a night the length of Lord Brahma, Brahma's night? That's how Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. Without understanding Krishna's loving emotional reciprocation, we suffer endlessly. Therefore, a Vaishnava is always thinking, how can I reach out to others? Just like here we are in the city of Melbourne, 3 million people around. A devotee is thinking, these people are suffering, they're destroying themselves. What can I do about it? How can I become qualified to reach out to others? That's what it takes. That's the emotional state that it takes to live in a city and function in Krishna's service. In a city you're surrounded by millions of people, there must be a concern. How will they be benefited? Therefore, Lord Chaitanya said, not only do I want to be the gardener, I want to be the tree also. I can give more benefit that way. A tree gives everything it has in any kind of weather. I want to do that. So this is an example of how we can have emotional growth in Krishna consciousness, and that way we'll be truly satisfied. Right, any questions? What do you mean, feel like it was an ordinary night? They got the experience of being with Krishna, a night, the ninth of Lord Brahma. They had that experience, without a doubt. Simultaneously, they just thought, this is the way it is with Krishna. You cannot understand it with like material intelligence because it's not a materially constructed situation. How they could just take it as ordinary even though it lasted the length of Lord Brahma's night. They actually felt that they were with, they actually felt being with Krishna in the Rasa dance that long. Although they thought the night was just 12 hours, you understand? They had the feeling of being with Krishna that long. Although they felt the night is just 12 hours. You don't understand.
Yeah, I'm just trying to
understand. Isn't it amazing that this night was just 12 hours, yet we felt we were with Krishna like all that time? Isn't it amazing?
Time goes fast and getting fun.
Isn't it amazing that the night was just 12 hours, yet we it seemed like we were with Krishna forever? You understand? All right. Okay, next question. Yes?
One comment, Maharaj. My personal comment. When I was in obstetrics ward, the lady used to deliver the baby, and the nurse was saying, no pain, no gain, all the time. Similarly, we can say in the spiritual time, we have to work very hard to gain Krishna, then only we can gain Krishna.
But that pain is the pleasure of the Vaishnava, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. The inconveniences that a devotee accepts to serve Krishna are his decorations, just like Lord Shiva. The blue line around his neck from the poison is a decoration. So the pains of a Vaishnava are not ordinary pains. We shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that. Although materialists think like that, you guys are suffering so much. Why don't you come be with us and enjoy? Come back to the real world. The pains of a Vaishnava are special. But only a devotee can understand those things. Some austerity undergone on behalf of Krishna, for Krishna's sake. That is a special thing. You're going to hear in the future that Lord Shiva gives his opinion. It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart. Yes?
Yeah. Because our conditioning is so deep, we still think that we can get emotional satisfaction through association with the opposite sex, even if we are very actively engaging in devotional service and getting a nice taste from that devotional service. So how can we get rid of that, get rid of that attachment or that conception that yes, I can actually get complete emotional satisfaction through association with the opposite sex?
Well, you can do it as a brahmachari, you can do it as a grihastha.
How can you do it as a brahmachari?
How do you do it as a brahmachari? When you see the ladies, you think, these beautiful gopis are meant for Krishna's pleasure. Prabhupada said that. He said that's what the brahmacharis and sannyasis would think. You admit that they're beautiful, but they're for Krishna's pleasure. You don't have to work yourself up into a negative tizzy. They're witches, they're hellish. I remember when I was a young brahmachari, there was one brahmachari, and he would just like sit in front of the LA temple and just like work himself into a tizzy every day. And just repeating over and over again, tigers by day, witches by night. Tigers by day, witches by night. he was fired up. Give credit where credit's due. Prabhupada, in a very short statement, actually made a very profound statement. They're beautiful, but they're meant for Krishna. He said the brahmacharis and things like that. These beautiful gopis are meant for Krishna's pleasure. Now, another thing is, Lord Shiva and Bhavani are showing that they are emotionally satisfied with each other because Krishna and Krishna's service is completely in the center. So, it is possible to coordinate any ashram so that the nectar of emotional fulfillment is there by pleasing Krishna. It's not that householders can't do that. It gets a little difficult sometimes, I've heard. But Lord Shiva is showing. He's asking his wife's permission. Can I drink the poison on behalf of all living entities? And she's giving permission. Anything can be perfectly used in Krishna's service. Some things are more difficult than others, but to use in Krishna's service, but it can be done. So you can't just dismiss things out of hand. It's all a desert. All those householders struggling for emotional satisfaction, which they'll never get. It depends how Krishna conscious they are. Because actually, whether you're a brahmacharya or a householder, it's Krishna who gives the emotional fulfillment. Some householders realize that very quickly. Others, takes a lifetime. Others, they may never understand it in this lifetime. But the fact is, it's Krishna who gives the emotional fulfillment. Krishna, Krishna's service. So you cannot, cut any ashram away from Krishna's service and say, impossible. You just have to choose the ashram which is most comfortable for you in making spiritual advancement. Everything can be done in relation to Krishna. Now, whether it's appropriate for you or not, that's another thing. That's why, what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? He gets right up in your face and says, Dharma Vruto Bhuteshu Kamasmi Bharatashrava. And what are you going to say about that? Krishna, you can't say that. No. Be renounced, Krishna. No. He's saying, I am procreation when done according to religious principles. I am that. What are you going to say? No, you don't know what you're talking about. Now, it may not be your cup of herb tea, but Krishna says, I am that. I remember back in the fanatic days. One Maharaj who's now won't mention. Wasn't me, but whenever someone would quote that verse to him, well, doesn't Krishna say in the Gita, I am sex life according to religious principles? And he would say, but in the Gita, Krishna also says, a fish, I am the shark. Would you embrace a shark? The logic isn't, the logic is meant to fool neophyte devotees and all the young brahmacharis, like, Kijai, Hanuma! Anyway, that was the old days, 30 years ago, So, Bhakti yoga includes everything. And we cannot shy away from that understanding. Bhakti yoga includes everything. If done properly for Krishna's pleasure. Now, what is the best way for you, for a particular devotee to serve Krishna? That you have to see and discuss and get guidance about. Everyone can have emotionally fulfilling relationships, whether it's husband and wife or it's a bunch of brahmacharis, if Krishna is in the center. All right, it's getting late. Hare Krishna, glories of Rama.